Welcome to the History Hotline, a direct line to a better understanding of all things Black history and beyond. And welcome to another episode of the History Hotline. My name is Deanna Lindcook, and as always, I will be your host today. Now, today's episode of the podcast will kind of be a continuation on from last week, where we were thinking about policing and whether things had actually changed from the 1960s to now. Now, in today's episode, again, we'll be thinking about if things have changed, but in reference to Notting Hill Carnival, and we'll be going back specifically to 1976 and in part 1977, where there were clashes with carnival goers and the police. And I'll be exploring ideas of over-policing Black communities, over-policing Notting Hill Carnival, and also thinking about some of the contemporary media coverage of Notting Hill Carnival and the way in which it is portrayed in today's society, almost, what, like 60 years on from the kind of initial carnival started in 1966 on the roads and in 59 in St. Pancras Town Hall. It's quite a long time for it to be such a staple of kind of the Caribbean culture in Britain. So yeah, I'll be thinking about all those things. And then next week we will be thinking about the far right and again asking that question, if things have changed, you know. We'll be taking that episode contextually back a little bit further to really, contextualise is the word. But just to give a longer history to the presence of the far right in Britain and the ways in which they have kind of manifested, the ways in which they've presented themselves and the ways in which they've taken to the streets all the way up to today. And by today, I mean 2024 and the summer we've just seen. Before we get into the meat, the juice of today's episode, I do have to remind you, the final reminder, there won't be an episode before now of the live show. The live show at King's Place as part of the London Podcast Festival, which will be on Sunday the 15th of September 2024 at 2 p.m. at King's Place, King's Cross, London. Tickets are available. Links will be in the show notes. So if you haven't got your ticket yet, please do. I will say I've had some really generous and wonderful guests that have actually donated tickets to anybody that might need them, whether that be because you know someone that wants to go and potentially can't afford it, or you yourself that applies to, please do send me a message. It can be an email or a message on social media if you would like those tickets. There is no criteria. You don't have to explain your situation. Just let me know if you need them and you can have them. But yeah, thank you very much to generous listeners that have donated tickets. And yeah, looking forward to meeting so many of you there on Sunday and also being in conversation with Dr. Jade Bentall and talking about her work as a Black feminist historian, thinking about things like oral history and the methodology itself and how we can use it to further Black British history as a field, and also the state of the field itself. We'll be talking about quite a lot, I can imagine, and I'm really, really looking forward to it. So last chance to buy your ticket. They will be in the link in the show notes and also on our link tree if you still haven't managed to get one. Additionally, we also have a live show as part of the Imperial War Museum podcast festival, which will be on the 19th of October at the Imperial War Museum. That will be in conversation with Colin Douglas about his book and his work more broadly on the Caribbean and the Second World War. It's part of the Imperial War Museum's kind of podcasting day, where they have a lot of military history podcasts that will be taking like a 45-minute slot to speak about their kind of relevant histories in regards to military histories, histories of war and that kind of thing. So we will be there as well, talking to Colin Douglas. I'm so excited for the conversation. I have been reading his work for the longest time, so to actually sit and chat with him will be fantastic. Very much looking forward to that, and hopefully again seeing you there. So, contemporary Notting Hill Carnival today. I am going to be speaking about crime and the way that crime is reported by the police and in the media. And I do want to say that whilst I'll obviously be thinking about the way that these crimes are racialized and the way that Carnival is spoken about, the victims of the any criminal activity and those who have suffered, whether it be, you know, pickpocketing to, unfortunately, to being killed at Carnival, as has been the case at this Carnival. You know, my sincerest condolences to those people. And I'm not limiting criminality or the impact of crime at all when I talk about the way that things are reported. But two things can be true. You know, there can be crime and it can be a bad thing, and our condolences can go out to those who are impacted and affected, but the reporting of that can also see racial bias and be racist comparatively to other kind of festivals and activities of similar size in this country that, you know, doesn't centre Caribbean culture. So I do want to say that as a point disclaimer to begin. Now, I started thinking about this primarily when I was literally getting ready to go to Notting Hill Carnival on Monday morning, and I was scrolling on Twitter, X, and I saw an infographic from the London Metropolitan Police, and it was an infographic detailing all the criminal activity, arrests, statistics from the Sunday. Now, this was being posted at like 9 a.m. on the Monday morning. So the fact that somebody had tallied up the, you know, the crimes, managed to make this, you know, snazzy infographic and post it out on Twitter all in a few hours was quite astounding to me. And also very interesting, because I don't think for anything else I've ever seen the police post an infographic, maybe for like, I don't know, crime over the last like year or decades, or, you know, statistical, like, you know, when political parties want to say we've been tough on crime and, you know, here's Met Police statistics, and then again it's coming from with a political agenda from a political party. But to actually see an infographic come out that quickly, I've never seen one for anything else. And please correct me if I'm wrong, like, I would actually love to be corrected on this topic. Like, just slide into the DMs, send me an email of when this has happened for other kinds of events. And I also understand there's not many events that are like Notting Hill Carnival, by way of it being a free quote-unquote festival. It's carnival, but it is it functions somewhat as like a street festival, a street party of millions of people, you know, in central London. I understand there are not many things like that, but still, never seen an infographic like that. It was detailing each and every crime, you know, it was detailing arrests, it was detailing, you know, police that had been quote-unquote assaulted, it was detailing damage to property, all kinds of things on there. It was just so interesting because I had never seen anything like it. And in the days that followed, there was the conflation of the death of a man called Muzi Imnetu, who was 41. He was visiting the UK from Dubai. He was a chef, and he was found unconscious with injuries in Queensway. And Queensway is in the area, in the vicinity of Carnival. It's not anywhere on the Carnival route. I'd say it's about, in a kind of straight line distance, like two tube stops away from like a Carnival exit, shall we say. And unfortunately, as I said, Muzi passed away on the 30th of August, so a little bit after. But this happened late at night, I think around 11 p.m. And, you know, Carnival finishes by 7:30 in the Carnival zone, which gets smaller every year. And I found it interesting, it wasn't for a few days until Nadine White wrote an article, you know, questioning this conflation, and as to why, you know, his death was being linked to Notting Hill Carnival when he hadn't even attended. And not to say there hadn't obviously being people that had been injured and unfortunately killed at Notting Hill Carnival. The story of Muzzy was very much linked to the story of Cher Maximin, who was stabbed at Notting Hill Carnival and unfortunately died a few days later. Unfortunately, even more unfortunately, is I think the fact that this conflation stopped in some ways us having quite an important conversation about crime at Notting Hill Carnival, and the way that it's been reported, things like that infographic, I'd say the racial bias that is clear and very prevalent in the reporting on Notting Hill Carnival, it stops us, and us I mean being the Caribbean community, having important conversations about crime at Carnival. Because realistically, not a single soul should be going to Carnival and dying. That's literally nothing, absolutely the furthest thing from what Carnival stands for, you know, especially a young woman with her whole life ahead of her. So many women don't feel safe at Notting Hill Carnival. So many women do, and so many women have a great time across the board. But it shouldn't be that way, that anyone feels unsafe. But it's so difficult, I think, and it's hard to have conversations about things like femicide, which is clearly, I'd say, in the case here, as much as I know about it anyway. And, you know, the crime that does happen. It's really hard when kind of racist media turn everything into some kind of like pseudoscience, racist, eugenicist rhetoric about black people being predisposed to criminality and XYZ and all the rest of it, and black people this and black people that, and you know, it's really difficult, but it does need to happen, because two things can be true at once, you know. The reporting can be very racist, as I said earlier, but also some of the things that are happening at Notting Hill Carnival are so against the spirit of Carnival and so heinous, it really does kind of put a dampener on the spirit of it sometimes. And I hope that one day we'll get to a point where we can pass out these conversations and actually have them, so that Carnival is a place that people actually feel safe going to and enjoying as they should. I've done a few episodes on Carnival before, so please, if you want further context and a wider reaching story of it in its past in Trinidad and in Notting Hill, please do go back to past episodes. But I will say, just for this episode, that for context, the first Notting Hill Carnival took place in St Pancras Town Hall in 1959 as a response to the 1958 race riots in Notting Hill. Then after that first carnival in Jan 1959, in the May of that year, Kelso Cochrane was murdered. And to help mediate the grief of that and to really kind of stand up to issues of racism in the country, the Caribbean community kept up Carnival. And I think it was in St Pancras Town Hall for a little bit until 1966, where it takes a shape that it has today. A procession modelled on the Trinidadian Carnival, made up of masquerade, dancers, floats, music, food. In the 70s, the sound systems from Jamaica got added, but the soca and the calypso stayed on the road, and the sound systems are on the side, as it should be. The ideas of insurrectionary celebration of anti-racist culture in the Caribbean that, you know, were imported in from Trinidad and Grenada and all the Caribbean countries that really do center Carnival and really have good carnivals, the original carnival countries, that was brought in to Britain's capital city, to London. And, you know, it's been seen as a kind of menace to public order. It's seen as like an act of resistance. And that's exactly what it should be seen as, because that's exactly what it was in Trinidad during the period of enslavement and after. That's exactly what it was in Grenada. That's exactly what it's been. in so many countries. And when it gets to London, nothing changes because it comes for similar reasons. It comes to stand up to racism. It comes to resist the state, the institutions that are making life so difficult for Black people in Britain. These insurrectionary celebrations are still true today because a lot of the racism that generations before us have faced might look different, but is still there for the most part. The press's response to Notting Hill Carnival is always quite negative, and it takes, you know, our newspapers like The Voice reporting the fact that Notting Hill Carnival generates £396 million for London's economy, and that's growing every year. So I've looked at figures from the past, and it's growing exponentially. You know, according to the Met Police, I'll give you the flip side of that. In 2023, they said it cost £11,754,295.49. They had it down to the pennies. The Met have that figure down to the pennies. They have their infographics down to the tens of people who have committed crimes. They know their numbers when it comes to Notting Hill Carnival. But yeah, they've said it costs around 11.7 million to police carnival, but it generates £3.9 million, and obviously £3.9 million isn't just going into like the taxpayers' money, where government money is, you know. It's not just going into that, it's also going into businesses, it's going into the economy more broadly, but you know, it's clearly making more than it's costing. And I will also say that things like, you know, the Premier League weekly football matches in different UK cities, multiple football matches in multiple cities cost the police. Music festivals across the country throughout the summer cost the police. Concerts, political conferences, royal family visits all cost the police, you know. And none of them probably equate to the numbers there are at Carnival, the millions. So none of them probably cost as much as that. Maybe actually royal family visits, I don't know. They probably need different levels of security beyond the police. But as you can see, you know, things cost. So a figure like that doesn't really, it shouldn't shock us. But the sensationalist media were very much putting that out there. Like, £11 million going down the drain. Look what you could do with £11 million. Doesn't really work like that at all. Because you kind of have to spend money to make money. And that goes for business more broadly, but also in the case of Notting Hill Carnival. Carnival's roots are in community building. After around 10 years of this outdoor event, and an even longer history of carnival culture on British soil, as I said, going back to 1959, the 1976 disturbances not only brought to a head the underlying disillusionment of young Black men in 1970s Britain, but also set in place a lot of the racialized, toxic stereotypes that we see today centering around Black male young people, Black male youths. And, you know, we can still see them within the media and within society today. Disturbances took place in the afternoon of Bank Holiday Monday that finished, or, you know, concluded the 1976 carnival as it went Sunday to Monday. Police confronted a small group of alleged pickpocketers, and some onlookers came to their defence. Many more police officers arrived with truncheons, and violence soon broke out. Figures vary, but around 250 people, including around 120 officers, were hospitalised and 60 arrests were made. Similar disturbances broke out the following year in 1977. The unrest in 1976 and 1977 caused relatively little damage. However, this incident kind of becomes this moment where the state and the media begin to construct this idea of criminality within young Black men in Britain. And it begins a point that is often described as a racialized moral panic and anxiety that lives on into the 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000s, 2010s and 2020s, up until today. During this period, this like late 1970s and into the 1980s, we know it's a time where a lot of young black people are very discontent, they're disillusioned, they're disenfranchised. 1981, you see the uprisings, and same in 1985, in cities around the country. These are the kinds of the same people, essentially. 1976 to 1981 is only about 5 years. So it's during this time, burdened by things like really high unemployment rates, discontent, and them kind of stepping into adulthood with very few prospects and still a very racist society, despite all their parents had gone through. There is a lot of disillusionment, and it's kind of that generation, the kind of Windrush generation's children, that we're thinking about in this period, that this label, this toxic racialized label, is being put on, that has kind of sat with us until today. Oftentimes I've read about the 1976 carnival in Notting Hill. It's been about this kind of uncategorically large police presence, and I've obviously only known carnival to have a sizable police presence. I've been going since I was a baby with my parents, and there's always been police at carnival, and it's not really something you think about. But oftentimes when people talk about 76 and 77, there was like something in the air. It was like there was just so many more police than normal, and so many people spoke about that, and in like oral histories and just general recollections of the time, the 70s and 80s. So it's interesting that maybe this tension that kind of is building in the 70s doesn't necessarily come to a head in 76, but is probably another lit match on a small fire that gets really big by 1981 and 1985, of discontent, of being over-policed and under-protected. So a little bit of a minisode there, thinking about Notting Hill Carnival and the way it's policed. Next week we will be thinking about the media and the far right, especially after the summer we've just had. If you haven't already got your live show tickets, do not hesitate, get them soon. And I will see you next week for another episode. Thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful week. Goodbye.